Better living every day. It's 26 minutes to 5. Here's one for you. What if a common anti-inflammatory and aspirin could reduce heart disease? So this is what researchers at Curtin University are currently investigating. So if you've got type 2 diabetes, you are more likely to suffer a stroke or heart attack. But taking an anti-gout medication called colchicine or a regular aspirin, it could lower this risk. So aspirin or colchicine, what you use for gout. Now, if this turns out to be proven, it'd be a pretty big game changer. You've got more than 1,000 Aussies who they need to take part in the trial to test this idea, mainly from regional and rural New South Wales. So let's find out more. Joining me is a lead researcher, Professor Christopher Reid from the Curtin School of Population Health. Professor, thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, Chris.
So what's the aim of this?
So our aim here is to identify new and novel approaches to helping particularly type 2 diabetic patients reduce their risk of future heart attack and stroke.
Colchicine. So why the gout medication? How will that work?
Yeah, this is, look, it's a really interesting hypothesis or an idea. And it's been shown that in people who have had a heart attack or a stroke, if you add colchicine on top of the statins, aspirin, blood pressure lowering drugs, it actually also further reduces the risk of heart attack and stroke. So the question here is, in people who are at high risk of heart attack and stroke, and there we're talking type 2 diabetic people, can we see the benefits that we've seen in those with established disease? And if we do that with this particular trial, that will be a bit of a game changer, because these are low cost, highly available medications.
So colchicine, I noticed there was a trial from the New England Journal of Medicine, and it found low dose colchicine reduces heart attacks and the need for stents or bypass surgery by 30%. Now, I thought colchicine doesn't it remove some sort of acid in your body to stop the crystals developing in your toes?
Yeah, absolutely right. It is one of these what we call non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Colchicine's effect is to break down those crystals, and a really effective gout medication, and many of your listeners will know that.
Yours truly.
But we have seen that in these trials, which really opened up a new pathway. Now, the exact mechanism or how it does it is through that inflammation or reducing inflammation throughout the system. And we know that a lot of heart attack and stroke is heavily related to the level of inflammation that the body's being exposed to.
And aspirin. Why aspirin?
Yeah, look, aspirin's been the cornerstone of treatment for many, many years for people who have had a heart attack and stroke. It's a bit controversial, particularly in primary prevention. And Chris, in primary prevention, that's when we're looking for people who haven't had heart attack or stroke, right, but we're trying to prevent the onset of disease. So in those high-risk individuals, the question around whether should we be using low-dose aspirin in high-risk individuals is still a little bit controversial. Big trials in Australia have shown that in older people, 70 years and older, there was little or no benefit of starting with aspirin treatment. So this is trying to extend further. Can we identify a group of high-risk individuals, that is people with type 2 diabetes, can we see any benefits in that group? And again, aspirin's a low-cost medication, and if it's shown to be beneficial in this high-risk population, then that will be of real value to the Australian community.
What do you need from the community in terms of the trial process?
You know, we've had our trials over the last decade or so have been done in primary care, and we've had a wonderful response from people who are willing to participate in what we call randomised clinical trials, and they're to answer those questions that we just don't know the answer to, but people want to know, doctors want to know, and if the results are favourable, then it's good for the community. So if people are willing to participate, are happy to be involved, if they satisfy those inclusion criteria, and if it's very broad in general terms of having existing type 2 diabetes, they may well be eligible for the colchicine and aspirin trial.
But you can't have a packet of cigarettes and bacon and egg roll twice a day and get on the colchicine and think you'll be okay, right?
Oh, look, it's not a panacea for everything. And of course, you know, all of our trials, one of the underlying premises is that we always focus on those important lifestyle interventions in addition to the sorts of therapeutic strategies we might be testing. We never step away from lifestyle. It's so important in preventing heart attack and stroke. But for many people who are at higher risk, then we do need therapeutic interventions. And this is testing a low-cost, low-risk intervention that may well, in fact, provide benefits for many type 2 diabetic patients.
Professor, good luck with it all. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for your interest, Chris. Thanks very much.
That's Professor Christopher Reid from the Curtin School of Population Health.